Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text Number 14. Sami Sampidya
Sampidya
Payum
Parshni
Parshnivyam Vayum Utsaranayam Shanai Navyam
Kosteshu
Avastapya
Rit
Pura Tata Kanda Shirshani Sampidya Payam Parshnivyam Vayum Utsarayam Shanai Navyam Kosteshva Vashtapya Ridura Kanta Shirshani Sampidya
By blocking.
Payum, the door of the anus. Parshnivyam, by the calves. Vayum, the air which goes up. Utsarayam,
pushing upward.
Shanai, gradually. Navyam,
by the navel.
Kosteshu, in the heart and in the throat. Avastapya,
fixing.
Rit, in the heart.
Ura,
upward. Kanda,
throat.
Shirshani,
between the two eyebrows.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, when Maharaj Prithu practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles. Pressing his right and left calves, gradually raised his life air upward, passing it onto the circle of his navel, up to his heart and throat, and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. Please repeat. When Maharaj Prithu practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles. Pressed his right and left calves. And gradually raised his life air upward. Passing it on to the circle of his navel.
Up to his heart.
And throat. And finally pushed it upward.
To the central position
between his two eyebrows. Purport. The sitting posture described herein is called Muktasana. In the yoga process, after following the strict regular principles controlling sleeping, eating, and mating, one is allowed to practice the different sitting postures. The ultimate aim of yoga is to enable one to give up this body according to his own free will. One who has attained the ultimate summit of yoga practice can live in the body as long as he likes or as long as he is not completely perfect. Leave the body to go anywhere within or outside the universe. Some yogis leave their bodies to go to the higher planetary systems and enjoy the material facilities therein. However, intelligent yogis do not wish to waste their time within this material world at all. They do not care for the material facilities and higher planetary systems but are interested in going directly to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. From the description in this verse, it appears that Maharaj Prithu had no desire to promote himself to the higher planetary systems. He wanted to return home immediately, back to Godhead. Although Maharaj Prithu stopped all yoga, practice of mystic yoga, after realizing Krishna consciousness, he took advantage of his previous practice and immediately placed himself on the Brahma-Buddha platform in order to accelerate his return to Godhead. The aim of this particular system of asana, known as the sitting posture for liberation, muktasana, is to attain success in kundalini chakra and gradually raise the life in the muladhara chakra to the Swadhisthana chakra, then to the Manipura chakra, the Anahata chakra, the Vishuddha chakra, and finally to the Agya chakra. When the yogi reaches the Agya chakra between the two eyebrows, he is able to penetrate the Brahma Rantra, or the hole in his skull, and go to any planet he desires, up to the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka. The conclusion is that one has to come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage for going back to Godhead. However, those who are in Krishna consciousness or are practicing Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, can return to Godhead without even practicing the Muktasana process. The purpose of the Muktasana practice is to come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage. For without being on the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one cannot be promoted to the spiritual sky. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam chayo vyabhichari, mam chayo vyabhichari na bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kapate. The bhakti yoga, practicing bhakti yoga, is always situated on the Brahma Buddha stage, brahma bhuyaya kapate. The devotee is able to continue on the Brahma-Buddha platform. He enters the spiritual sky automatically after death and returns to Godhead. Consequently, the devotee need not feel sorry for not having practiced the Kundalini chakra or not penetrating the six chakras one after another. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he had already practiced this process. And since he did not want to wait for the time when his death would occur naturally, he took advantage of the Satkriya penetration process and thus gave up the body according to his own free will and immediately entered the spiritual sky. Sampidya payam parshnivyam vayu utsarayam chanai nabhyam koshteshva vashtabhya ridora kanta shirshani. When Maharaj Prithu practiced the particular yoga sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his life air upward, passing it onto the circle of his navel, up to his heart, and finally pushed it to the central position between his two eyebrows. Mom Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Vuzay Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shinivadi Pasagyade Sitarna. Here in this verse we find the advantages of the Astanga Yoga practice that Krishna gives different types of intelligence. And in the Astanga Yoga process there's also a type of intelligence by which one is able to control the life eras within the body. It said that the soul is situated on the life eras. I guess mainly the life eras are originating within the heart, the five major life eras being apana, prana, udana, samana, and jnana life eras. And the soul is resting on those life eras. By intelligence coming from Krishna, because ultimately nothing is separate from Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Paranyavur, Indriyavya Paramana, Manasastu Parao Buddhir, Yobude Paratastu Saha, that there is a hierarchy of energies in this universe. The most obvious energy that we see is gross energy. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But there is other energies which are controlling the grosser energies, namely the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the soul, and above the soul is the super soul. And ultimately everything is determined by the relationship between the soul and the super soul, because the gross, the subtle energies and the gross energies, material energies, are manipulated by the interrelationship between the soul and the super soul, not independently. The material energy doesn't move by itself, nor does it move simply by the will of the soul. But the will of the soul has its reaction, you could say, or its consequences in that the super soul has arranged things in such a way that the super soul is fulfilling the desires of the soul according to what the soul deserves. Therefore, Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kuntiya Jagati Parivartite. Material nature is working under my direction, Krishna says, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its will, or by its rule, this creation is manifested and annihilated again and again. So Krishna, he says he's neutral. We believe him. Because we're devotees, you know, we're obligated. He says he's like the judge. That all this work cannot buy me, I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. So Krishna is neutral, and therefore, by desire, everything is going on. Because the desire, what we're desiring, has to do with our perspective on things. Obviously, or hopefully, we wouldn't desire the same type of food that a pig would desire, because we have a different senses, we have a different perspective on things. Although some people are, it's not universally accepted that that's true. On the other hand, a pig would not want the same things that we might desire to eat, because it has a different perspective on existence, what's good and what's bad. The mind has been influenced by the senses, and its perspective of life also influences the pig. The pig thinks, I'm a pig, this is what I want to eat. The human being thinks, I'm not a pig, this is, I shouldn't eat like a pig. Unless they're actually a pig. Therefore, the complexities of the relationship between the different gross and subtle elements that we're working with, when it's understood, when one can, is understood by the surrender to Krishna, you can say, because ultimately everything depends upon surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means that Krishna is given a very intricate knowledge of reality and how it functions and what the different steps are, that we can take shelter of Krishna in the sense that we can take shelter of Krishna in a way that these different aspects, gross and subtle of the material nature, can be revealed to us, and therefore by desiring to dovetail ourselves with Krishna's desire, Krishna's instructions in these subtle realms. Therefore, in that way, we take control of it. By our desiring to desire the way Krishna instructs us in these particular realms. Therefore, in the 11th canto, we find that all mystic powers really just come from dovetailing one's desire with Krishna's desire. Not exactly Krishna's desire, with Krishna's instructions, how to get these mystic powers. And therefore, Krishna gradually gives facility, or the ability to have these powers. But they're never independent from Krishna. They're always Krishna's mystic powers. Simply as the soul has dovetailed his desires with the intelligence coming from Krishna's instructions. Of course, they may be in the Vedic literature, but Krishna's instructions are not just a bunch of words. They're also realized knowledge coming from those who have realized it, so it helps to have someone, an instructor, who's actually realized what it all means. Otherwise, we can buy a book on how to create yantras. One time Prabhupada came into the airport in Dallas, and the devotees were there. I was there too. And they asked Prabhupada, the reporters asked, something about mystic powers. And so Prabhupada mentioned something about how there are three ways you can travel. One way is by an airplane, like he came on. The other, he said, is by mystic power. And the third is if you get enough pigeons and you strap them together, then they can fly you wherever you want. Probably not American pigeons. It's probably some special pigeon. I can't imagine American pigeons cooperating with each other. In any case, then they asked Prabhupada, so, how have you come? He said, I came by airplane just to be one with you. There are sciences, and these sciences are given in the Vedas. Of course, we don't have a very complete set of the Vedas. But within the Vedic literature, there is all kinds of instructions, and perhaps previously people knew how to chant the mantras. They had realized knowledge in these respects, and therefore they could manipulate the material energy. But we should not think they were manipulating independently of Krishna. It was all based upon a type of surrender to Krishna, of which one of the types is explained here, a type that brings one to the Brahma-Buddha stage. So that by Krishna's instructions, how, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, beginning with prayana kali manase manasa chalena bhakti yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvora madhye prana vesha samyak satam paramam purusham upaiti divyam. So by concentrating between the eyebrows, obviously it's to raising up the life air. It has a lot to do with where our mind is going. Generally people's mind is going to the lower chakras for sense gratification. They're concentrated usually in the lower, the Mooladhara chakra, which is the chakra for survival. Most people's primary goal is survival. And then when they think they can survive, then they want to enjoy. Svadhisthana chakra. And then when they think they can enjoy, and they're satisfied like that, then it goes up to the next chakra, which has to do with what is it mentioned here? Manipura, yes, okay, Manipura chakra, to deal with the digestion, so you can eat food and get the power to enjoy and survive. Digest other living entities and get empowered to digest more living entities, control the material energy more. And then it goes to the heart, where you feel good about yourself and others because you like digesting them. You appreciate how people are cooperating with you in your process of digestion. And you hate those who are impeding your power of digestion. And then next to the Vishuddha chakra, where you glorify those who help you digest things, and you curse people who don't impede your digestion. And then Agya Chakra, where you're actually able to see the future of the material world, what's, etc. And ultimately when you see the future, you see that everyone's digesting every day and eliminating every day, and nothing really is going on except for that. People digesting and eliminating and being fearful that they won't be able to digest and eliminate tomorrow. Therefore offering different prayers and sacrifices to Krishna. So the process of digestion and elimination goes on. And then you think, well, this is pretty boring, let me go somewhere else, and then you exit the Brahmaranga. So there is a science like that, and Krishna has explained it in Bhagavad Gita, and it's explained in more detail by realized personalities that follow Krishna's instructions and realize the process, so that one can ultimately take control of the life errors. And in order to do that, Krishna says, oh, you have to live in a certain way, of which one of the primary things is brahmacharya. And you can't be unlimitedly fearful the fact that you won't be able to survive. You can't be unlimitedly anxious to enjoy in the material world the most ignorance and passion. You have to raise your life here beyond that. So therefore Krishna goes on to say, what's the next verse after that? I can't remember the next word. It's going to be a long process. Do we have a Bhagavad Gita? Sharanti, the tape of the Sangrahena Pravakshe. Sukle Krishne Gati Ete Jagatat Shasvate Mate Eka Yat Yat Inaritam Anya Vartate Puna. That's another verse. Those who know this process, those who they depart in the Shukla Krishne, those who can depart in the proper time. Shukla Krishne Gati Ete Jagatat Shasvate Mate. They attain me. But don't worry about this, Krishna says, because if you simply become a devotee, then everything will be nicely arranged for you. According to the Vedas, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in darkness and one in light. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when he passes in darkness, he returns. And then he says, Naiti Shriti Parta Janan Yogi Muyati Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yogi Yukta Bhavarjana. Those who know these two paths are never bewildered, therefore remain fixed in devotion. Or those who accept the path of devotional service is never bewildered, therefore remain fixed in devotion. So one actually becomes another technique, that is taking shelter of Krishna directly. One doesn't have to worry about all these other techniques, although these other techniques also work, but taking shelter of Krishna works the best. So if one actually takes shelter of Krishna and comes to the transcendental platform, everything else is included. But if you know a few extra techniques, it's not bad. Like here, Prithu Maharaj, he wanted to leave early, not waiting for his material body to disintegrate and then leave, but he decided to leave immediately, without waiting for the disintegration of the body. So this is all based upon Krishna giving intelligence in one sense, and the soul desiring in a certain way. So Krishna can give all kinds of intelligence, but if the soul, by his previous activities, has a certain karma, has a certain situation in the material world, has a certain realizations, then he can utilize those in Krishna's service too. If we don't know nothing materially, that's all right also. We just take shelter of Krishna. And if we know something materially, then we can utilize that in Krishna's service also. But the difficulty is to realize all these things. Yadakshram brahma vido vidanti vishanti adhyatiya vidaraga idishante brahmacharyana charanti tatepadam sangrahena pravakshe. Things like celibacy, getting free from all anxiety, all these things are not so easy to achieve in this age. We're not trained up like that. Our body composition and the stresses in the material world are such that practice of this yoga system generally doesn't really give very much results. The realizations come after a long, long time, if at all. Therefore, Krishna doesn't recommend it. But we shouldn't be foolish and think someone like Prithu Maharaj who's wasting his time. Because he had the capacity and the intelligence to practice it, And because he had already practiced it, he was able to utilize it. Similarly, we have some talents, and Prabhupada and Krishna want us to utilize those talents in Krishna's service. It's not that we should decry our talents and remain indifferent to devotional service. Now, whatever we have acquired, whatever we can do, we should utilize that in Krishna's service, and then Krishna becomes pleased by that. And if we don't have so many talents, we shouldn't become depressed either. I can't do very much. We can always chant Hare Krishna, and that's pleasing to Krishna too. The ultimate aim is to please Krishna, because if Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself, and then we become transcendental, and everyone else who associates with us gets Krishna's association too, through our association with Krishna. So that's the ultimate goal, whatever we're doing. Therefore, everything culminates in hearing and chanting about Krishna. If we perform our service nicely, properly, whatever our talents may be, then we should develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. And if we are expert in our material activities, and we don't develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we've just wasted our time. You know that verse, right? Tattvasya dharma charanam bhudam harer. Bhajana pakho tattvito yidi. Yatra avabhra bhajama buddha mushikim. Tuvarta abdo bhajatam svakarmam. Dhammata. So we've just wasted our time. So the result, the conclusion is, because we've run out of time. The conclusion is, we're very fortunate to come here and hear and chant about Krishna. Although we may wonder, there's so many subject matters explained in the Bhagavatam, and there's so many speakers, and they say this and that, and they keep on saying the same thing all the time. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. They're all kind of, can't come up with any original statements, so when they run out of words, they just say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And once in a while, one Gyani devotee comes along and says, read the books. Just to throw in something else. Make us feel more guilty than we already feel. But the conclusion really is that it is very helpful to read these books, to gain knowledge. What is the ultimate knowledge? We should be reading the books. We should be hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's very nice. And one of the things is that we should understand the conclusions. We shouldn't lament if we're not so powerful. We don't have all this material knowledge of how to control the life areas in the body and how to control different elements of our lives, be expert in music or singing or dancing, whatever. We shouldn't lament about that. We should simply relish hearing and chanting about Krishna. Or even hearing and chanting about all these wonderful ways that Krishna has arranged in the material world. All these different varieties of illusion and personalities and things that are going on here, these different energies and how they're interacting. It's all by divine arrangement of Krishna. And although we may not be able to participate in every manner because we're just little tiny souls desiring, but at least we should appreciate how wonderful Krishna's energies are, how wonderfully they're working, and how wonderful it is that Krishna has given us such an easy opportunity to become Krishna conscious by hearing and chanting about him, and ultimately just calling out to Krishna to bring us back to the spiritual world. And by doing so, even in this lifetime, as it says here, we can gradually advance through the modes of ignorance and passion, surpass goodness, and even in this lifetime become situated in the spiritual atmosphere with doing nothing more than just hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this should give us some sense of appreciation and at the same time sense of wonder how merciful Krishna is. He made things so complicated that it takes a tremendous amount of effort to get through the material energy, and he's made it so simple that it becomes so simple if we just ask him to take us out of the material energy and bring us to the spiritual energy. If we really want that, he immediately does it. Sarva karma. Well, ate part of the Bhagavad Gita. They were hungry for the knowledge. So that's chapter 12. Yetu sarvani karmani maya sanyasamattaha ananayinaiva yogina mamdayanta upasate teshamaham samudarta mriti samsara sagara vavaminatra parta maya veshita chetasa. Just fix your consciousness upon me and surrender all, engage all your work on to me. Yetu sarvani karmani maya sanyasamattaha. Become devoted to me. Ananayinaiva yogina, being completely devoted, mamdayanta upasita, and always meditating upon me. Having fixed your consciousness upon me, I become the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So if we engage our activities in Krishna's service, then naturally we'll begin to think of him more and more. And as we fix our consciousness completely upon him, then he actually brings us back to the spiritual world, even in this lifetime. Therefore it says that the Pandavas attain the state of the spiritual world, even their self-same bodies. Which means that even in this lifetime, they were situated in the spiritual sky. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj Prabhupada mentions that a yogi can choose to go to Vaikuntha or even Krishna Loka by living through the Pramarangra. But isn't it also mentioned that only those who have to develop the mood of the
residence? Well, you have to have the mood, of course. You have to want to go there. Unless you know where you're going, you won't want to go there. But if you... So therefore it says, Omi dye kakshiram brahma, vyaharam mam anusmaram, mam abhyat... Mam... Omi dye kakshiram brahma, vyaharam mam anusmaram, being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he'll certainly reach the spiritual planets. So, along with leaving the body, you have to want to go somewhere. If you just leave the body through the Brahmarandra, you may wind up back in Brussels somewhere. You pop out and you didn't know where to go because you didn't. You think, wow, I forgot something. You have to know where you want to go. So it's not sufficient to leave. Brahma-bhuta means you're leaving the material world, but you have to know where you want to go if you want to go to the spiritual world. So there's two steps to it. Just like we have. It's all right to find out who you're not, namely you're not the body, that's Brahma-bhuta, but it's even better to find out who you actually are. So both sides of the knowledge have to be there. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande ki jai.